Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, May 16th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwean villagers attack President Mugabe for donating cassava in Mashingo province ravaged by a crippling drought.
Cassava is just an alien food. To us, we don't even know how to prepare it. And talking of his visit, right, we're expecting him to bring us maize.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa has revised downwards Zimbabwe's projected economic growth to 1.4%.
I think basically these figures reflect the state of the economy, because normally the consumer price index is a barometer of the strength of the economy.
And tonight we are featuring Mandela Washington Fellow, businessman Skosana Masibiza.
And Dynamo's fans go on the rampage as new coach apologizes for his team's poor performance.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Villagers in Gudu communal lands in Masvingo province have slammed President Robert Mugabe for donating cassava and bananas at a time when most of them have run out of the staple food maize meal due to a crippling drought. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba has more details.
President Mugabe made the donation at a rally at Chamisa Primary School in Gudu shortly after paying his condolences to the late Chief Gudu Amos Tasirai Masanganise, who died 3 years ago. Villagers who spoke to Studio 7 said the donation was a mockery to them, as they do not eat cassava, while bananas are not associated with ending hunger. One of the villagers who only wanted to be identified as Gondoza said President Mugabe should not have donated such items, as people in the region eat traditional grains and not cassava.
Cassava is just an alien food. To us, we don't even know how to prepare it. And talking of his visit, right, we're expecting him to bring us maize, but we're so shocked to realize that the president brought cassava to us so that we can prepare, but we don't even know how we're going to survive with it. This shows that the government and our president is now at a desperate situation. He doesn't even know how he's going to face up, like, with the situation. So I think, yeah, he really mocked us.
Indications are that the president sourced the cassava and bananas from West African island of Papua New Guinea. This could neither be confirmed nor denied by presidential spokesperson George Charamba, who was not reachable for a comment on the donation and the source of the cassava and bananas. Another villager, Timothy Mavuzi, said the donation was a sign of desperate measures by Mr. Mugabe to please hungry Zimbabweans.
To me, these are very desperate measures. Bananas will not end our hunger. And much as he brought cassava, it's not our staple food. Our staple diet is maize. He should have brought maize.
Villager Timothy Murangana Conged, adding that president's donation was an insult to the Gudu community.
We were very, very surprised to see the president bringing us cassava and bananas in our community. To me, it was an insult per se, because how can the president bring cassava? Yet he knows very well that our staple food is maize. And also, it was very funny to see the old man coming to say his condolences to the man who was deceased in 2013.
Other villagers said they were shocked to learn that the president came to Gudu to pay his condolences to a person who died several years ago. Speaking to the villagers, Mr. Mugabe took a swipe at war veterans who are spearheading a campaign to block his wife, Grace, from succeeding him. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masvingo, I am Kandri Maramba.
Meanwhile, in Chinoy, some war veterans say that this weekend they will not take part in the so-called 1 million men march scheduled for next week to show solidarity with President Robert Mugabe. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa, who attended a meeting of the former freedom fighters in Chinoy, filed this report.
The former freedom fighters who came from all the provinces numbering more than 500 gathered in Chinoy on Saturday expressing disappointment at the ongoing tensions between the youth and themselves. The war veterans said a faction calling itself G40, known to be sympathetic to the First Lady Grace Mugabe, has been exposed, adding First Lady Grace Mugabe has finally realized that she cannot lead a faction in a country. Speaking at the meeting, War Veteran Secretary General Victor Matemadanda said members of G40 who have no history of the struggle were taking advantage of a communication breakdown that existed between the war vets and the First Family before they met President Mugabe last month. Matemadanda said the First Lady has realized that she cannot lead a function when she is the mother of the nation.
Many people without a history of their own, as far as the struggle, the revolution is concerned, have been capitalizing on this lack of communication. And we are closing that door. It's not going to happen again. We are never going to give them a chance again to get between us and the First Defender. Our First Lady can never be part of a faction.
Matemadanda said the war vets are not going to be part of the organizers of what he described as a poorly organized 1 million men march because they don't want to be associated with failure. Matemadanda said some elements within the G40 faction want to rope in war vets in a last-minute effort to save face for those who failed to organize the much-publicized events.
This is not coming from the president. It is coming from people who want to cause another division. They want, when this thing fails, they want to blame it on war veterans, as though war veterans are the brains behind it. We do not want people who create things and try to blame them on war veterans, because if the youth have organized their march, let them do it.
The war vets, whose meeting was punctuated with a lot of down with G40 slogans, said people who are trying to cause confusion in the party are the same people who say there is a plot to kill President Robert Mugabe in order to succeed him. They added that the people saying this should be arrested and forced to tell the nation the alleged culprits. Sanyati MP and the National War Veteran Secretary for Business Development, Runesu Blessed Geza, said those who are spreading lies to the nation that their people want to kill the president must provide tangible evidence to the police or risk being arrested themselves for causing alarm and despondence in the country.
They must be held accountable for their statements. It's a serious offense.
Yes.
Right. Yes, where are they? Hey, where are they?
National Consultative Member for Kadoma, Jimaya Muduri, who is on a whirlwind tour of provinces, is preaching the gospel that Vice President Mnangagwa and Grace Mugabe have no factions. Jimaya, who is claiming to have been sent by Mnangagwa, who is his uncle, said Mnangagwa will not try to take ZANU-PF leadership while President Mugabe is still alive.
I went and asked the vice president about talk that he wants to wrestle power from the president while he is still around. That is until 2023. But the vice president said he didn't want to take over from the president because the two of them have been together since the liberation struggle. I respect him.
Conducted for comment, Sarah Mahoka said the war vets are misrepresenting facts and dared them to come and contest her if they think they are more popular than her in Urungwe.
2018, my Mahoka won't be intimidated by anyone. I want real men to come and challenge me and see what will happen.
The war vets backing Mnangagwa seems to have propelled his faction Lacoste above G40 that seemed to have lost direction since First Lady Grace Mugabe has been out of the country. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us tomorrow when we will discuss the viral This Flag movement calling on Zimbabweans to demand their rights and hold the government accountable.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa has revised downwards the country's economic growth forecast to 1.4% from the initial projection of 2.7%. The new projection brings the target in line with the projections of the two Bretton Woods institutions, the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. Chinamasa said in a statement that despite the headwinds facing the economy, growth in 2016 is projected to remain positive at 1.4%. The downward projection comes after the Zimbabwe National Statistics Agency, or ZIMSTAT, today said the country's consumer prices declined 1.64% year-on-year in April after contracting 2.31% in March. ZIMSTAT said on a month-on-month basis, prices fell 0.21% compared with a 0.12% dip in the previous month. Chief Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the economy is on the decline.
I think basically these figures reflect the state of the economy because they normally... The consumer price index is a barometer of the strength of the economy. So when the economy is weakening, you tend to see that the consumer price index will actually decline. When the economy is strengthening, the consumer price will also tend to increase. So I think what's happening in Zimbabwe is that owing to lack of aggregate demand in the economy, that has actually resulted in consumer price index actually going down. Prices have been going down as a result of weakening aggregate demand owing to issues to do with liquidity, retrenchments, unemployment. But generally, it reflects the weakening in terms of the economy.
What is the way forward?
The way out of this is to ensure that we are producing. Once we are producing, number one, it means we are also able to export. And once we are exporting, we are able to get receipts back into the economy to improve liquidity. We need to come up with policies that ultimately will result in liquidity in the economy improving. And the best way of doing that is by producing. And the best way of producing is by ensuring that we reduce the cost of doing business. We need to invest in infrastructure. We need to invest in the enablers of the economy so that at least our producers can begin to produce. As it is at the moment, companies have been closing. Unemployment is very high. And the best way of dealing with those challenges is to make sure that we are a producing economy.
And that was Chief Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Studio 7 will be running an economic series starting tomorrow, focusing on Zimbabwe's ailing economy.
Will the bond not help in reviving the economy? Does Zimbabwe need a policy shift to attain reasonable growth?
Don't miss this three-part series on Zimbabwe's economy starting tomorrow here on Studio 7. Stay tuned.
A lifetime opportunity. This is how businessman Nkosana Masibisa is describing his participation in the upcoming 2016 Mandela Washington Fellowship Program. Masibisa, founder of the confectionery company SWAD, is one of the 60 young Zimbabweans headed for the United States next month for the 8-week fellowship. He will study business and entrepreneurship at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. Masibisa tells Studio 7's reporter Ntungamili Nkomo he hopes to gain the right knowledge to expand his business.
Such opportunities are very rare, and not only are they important, they enhance our leadership skills, social networking, business and entrepreneurship. It gives one a global overview how the world is operated, how Zimbabwe can tap into the global value chain, and how best can we enhance our economy moving forward as young people.
What products do you produce?
SWAD is a confectionery company which solely does biscuits, potato crisps, pastry chips, and dried fruits. This company is located here in Bulawayo since 2014. Our main task is confectionery, and our main target are young people who believe in opulence and quality.
You are located in Bulawayo, where many industries and companies have shut down because of economic challenges. How are you managing?
What makes SWAD survive under harsh economic situations in Zimbabwe, specifically in Bulawayo, where we are witnessing a large deindustrialization of companies, is our marketing strategy. As SWAD, we are focusing on fast-moving consumer goods, which has been choked by imports. What we do is we use a marketing strategy called the matrix, where low-cost products are covering overheads for high-cost products. And our marketing strategy is very simple and plain. We use what we call co-creation and low approach, where we go down to the market, specifically to young people. We explain to them what SWAD stands for, and buying SWAD products, the impact of buying SWAD products under the Buy Zimbabwe brand. Also, what makes SWAD survive under such economic climate is our corporate social responsibility, where we are participating in community activities. For example, we have Lobengula High School, where we are sponsoring debates, clubs, interaction clubs. We are also involved in paying fees for the less privileged.
Mandela Washington Fellow Nkosana Masibisa, founder of the confectionery company SWAD, he was speaking on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo. Tune in tomorrow and hear the story of another fellow, Sibiso Ndlovu, an advocate for people living with hearing impairments.
And now we take a look at regional and international news. For the third day in a month, hundreds of protesters gathered in Nairobi to demand major reforms in the country's electoral commission, starting with the resignation of the commission members.
Donald Trump says he may end up having a bad relationship with British Prime Minister David Cameron after he called the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, quote, divisive, stupid and wrong, end quote, for proposing a temporary ban on Muslims entering the United States.
And the state of the economy is being stressed by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton as they try to win votes for tomorrow's Democratic presidential primaries in Oregon and Kentucky.
A person living with both disability and HIV can endure untold sufferings if there are no relevant interventions. In the following report, Safari Njema looks at the issue through highlighting one of the challenges faced by a person in this predicament.
36-year-old Anna Lungisani is a resident of Overspill in Epworth. She is blind and is HIV positive. Lungisani, a widow, went blind at the age of 29 soon after the death of her husband. Lungisani now stays with her father, Aiwo Lungisani, who is employed as a security guard in the area. For a person with a condition, she needs to go for regular checkups, where they have to hire a car for $10 per visit. In addition, Anna needs to buy basic needs and to have a special diet, which is fairly expensive by her living standards. Her father's salary of $80 per month is not enough to sustain the two of them. Occasionally, Lungisan is assisted to bath by her aunt, who stays 10 kilometers away, and during holidays, her 12-year-old sister Rachel helps with the household chores.
My young sister, who is about 12 years now, helped me to take a bath, especially I don't go to the toilet, because I can't walk properly. I always bath in this house. Even if you look at my clothes, they are dirty right now. I've got only one blanket.
The Epworth Local Board has served the family with a notice to demolish their house to pave way for a new road. The family water well and ablution facilities require serious attention. Lungisani has one blanket and three dresses which have not been washed for a long time. In addition to her nightmare, neighbors are shunning the family.
I'll be always alone. I'll be outside, I can say, 9 to 10 o'clock. There I sit listening to the other people's, their story will be, I enjoy them, but there's no need for me to answer or to say anything because they will be far away from me. So I start to feel lonely and I go back into the house.
It is disturbing that at such a tender age, her sister Rachel handles household chores normally reserved for professional nurse aides.
The problem that I face when I help her, she cannot bath, I can bath her, cook for her, and find food that she can eat.
The World Health Organization says a good diet is one of the simplest means of helping people living with HIV/AIDS. It also says a balanced nutrition helps the body fight diseases by boosting the immune system. Rachel appears to be faced with a grim situation, given that her family struggles to buy basic foodstuffs.
Things that are here, mealie-meal, salt, and that are not there, cooking oil, tea leaves, and there's no light that we can light when it is midnight.
Her sister's condition is now affecting Rachel's schoolwork.
I cannot concentrate with my lessons because I can think that she is lonely at home. What things can do if she is here? Especially, I think people can enter here and ask her who is there, and there's no answer can talk with her. She will be lonely and people cannot talk with her.
Harare resident Takudzwa Nderere witnessed the plight of the Lungisani family when she attended a funeral in the area recently. She says communities should assist people like Anna.
It's a sad situation. The lady has been hit hard from every corner. She's poverty-stricken, she's blind, she's living positively. And apart from that, she's staying with her father, someone who can't really assist her in terms of personal hygiene and everything. And also, looking into it, the situation as well, the neighbors are also withdrawing from assisting her. It's something that probably there is need for the community to look into this issue carefully and clearly.
Some people in Lungisani's situation in rural areas get financial and material assistance from the Department of Social Welfare. But Anna is not entitled to the help because Epworth is only 25 kilometers from the capital, Harare. A spokesperson for the Department of Social Welfare, who declined to be named, said they have a public assistance program aimed at reducing poverty to vulnerable groups. However, they have been forced to restrict the program to rural areas due to financial challenges facing the country, leaving those in urban areas desperate for help. Media lecturer Alexander Rusero says there should be no excuse for failing to assist people with disabilities.
There is no government that can justify lack of resources, especially to cater for group with special needs in the society. Unfortunately, at Zimbabwe's level, we don't have a ministry as of yet that cater for the physically challenged, for the blind, for the albinos.
Rusero says government and civic organizations should work together in educating communities about disability and HIV/AIDS to curb stigma and discrimination.
We are still trapped in the medieval and traditional mentality of thinking that such kind of people are a curse, such kind of people are outcasts of the society, yet they are also human beings with inalienable rights just like any other human being. So it is a major cause of concern, and the government must chip in.
It remains to be seen whether Longisani will get any help from the state or any organization, as she remains neglected due to disability challenges and while struggling with being HIV positive. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I am Safari Njema.
Suspended Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni says he still thinks that local government minister Xavier Kasukuwere erred in suspending him because he didn't do anything wrong in the execution of his duties as the council leader. Speaking for the first time after the High Court last week dismissed his urgent application challenging his suspension, Manyenyeni says he does not regret his action as he was guided by the Constitution and Urban Councils Act. Manyenyeni was suspended 3 weeks ago on allegations of insubordination and disobeying the minister after his council employed James Mushore as the city's town clerk. He speaks with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
We still try to give the court a bit of space to give whatever they call justice, and we await the outcomes.
How are you feeling about all this, the impact of all this on the council operations?
Okay, at a personal level, obviously the decision suspending has been received and taken on board by myself. A lot of people are more angry than I am. I'm at peace with it. Okay, but in terms of council operations, yes, certainly there are arrangements in place. There is an acting mayor, councillors are there, members and teams are there. But the current apprehension around the suspended mayor, the issue of bringing finality to the appointment of the town clerk, which we thought we had done, which has been challenged, they create a lot of uncertainty around a lot of areas. Some areas, some issues that need attention are long standing, they've been with us for a long time, like salary arrears, other arrears, service delivery issues. Those things require concrete, stable leadership on both arms of council, the policymaker level and the executive level. So the current impact is most unhealthy and it's poorly timed for the crisis that the city is facing.
Do you still think that the minister aided in suspending you?
There is nothing that we did as council, there's nothing that I did as a leader of council and mayor that I would regret.
And that was a suspended Harare mayor Bernard Manyenyeni speaking on the line with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chiona Sojani, your host for Time to Engage. Today we have a very special young man, and his name is Wanda, who stays in Mashingo, 22 years old, and he is the chairman for Transform Credit Organization. So for all the youth out there who want to know the importance of savings, tune in. Hello, Wanda. How are you?
I'm fine now.
I'm fine. Please tell us about what your organization does.
Okay. Transform Credit Association is all about saving. It's a savings and credit cooperative. Our main thrust is to encourage students to save. We all have the fundamental belief that we want to get rich. But then through our own research, we've discovered how can a person get rich. Then we saw that the best way for a person to get rich is through saving.
So are you acting as a financial institution?
Okay, we are a cooperative. We are not a financial institution per se. Actually, we are registered with the Ministry of Small to Medium Scale Enterprises, Ministry of SMEs.
How are you marketing this product?
We are targeting our fellow students. We started with our own classmates because those are the ones who saw us from every day as we started our organization. So we started working with these. Then we put a lot of posters around the university and we started to get contacts from the rest of the university. And now we are trying to push towards contacts with other universities as well. Our trust is to get students from all universities.
Can you explain to us why youth should get into savings?
So you need to save. You need to control your expenditure. Even as little as you have, you need to have something put aside for your future. So we encourage people to save because of that. It can increase all self-confidence because you know you have contingent plans if anything happens. Then for students, these people, they are the elders of tomorrow. So
now to recap on today's top stories. Zimbabwean villagers attack President Mugabe for donating cassava in Masvingo province, ravaged by a crippling drought.
That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.